you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. And an interesting prayer you just had, Mary Ann. I'll start off the program before we introduce our special guest for Testimony Tuesday. But you said, as you were praying, Lord, I served in a country where you didn't have the ability or the power or the privilege to vote. And you had prayed that the people would see this opportunity, if they've been registered, to go and vote and to exercise that privilege. Mm-hmm. And so maybe in a minute or two, give a little testimony of, what do you mean you grew up where you couldn't vote?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I grew up in two countries in Africa. One, I watched the military try to overthrow the government. That government had a dictator. In another country, there was danger of being airlifted out of the mission station because of overthrows of the government. And it's a startling thing to realize that when you're in a place where the people have no voice in what's happening, and we do have a voice here. And what I prayed this morning when we were just praying before the program is that the Holy Spirit would just fall upon this nation in a profound way, mm-hmm. and do God's will. That's the prayer. It's like you prayed for fair elections. We pray the Holy Spirit. We just have to pray God's will.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen and amen. Exercise your privilege today by voting. Mm-hmm.
And we pray just God's will.
Pray that God's will be done and it'll be a fair election.
Yeah.
And
we'll go from there.
Yeah. Amen. Well, if you were tuned in yesterday for Memorization Monday when we looked at Colossians 3:15 and just touched on Colossians 3:16, but Pastor Adam Lewis was pretty fired up about the verse. And if you got to tune in yesterday, you heard his passion, his love for God, his love for sharing the good news. Message of Jesus, and we just got to touch on a little of his story, but not too much. He's been married to Cindy for 17 years. He has two twin boys that are 13, a daughter that's 11. He served at the First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur these past 5 years, but we briefly touched on the fact that he was a part of the Faster Pastors, and their church has the D1 NAZ.
Faster Pastors? I must have missed that. What's that about?
Well, we have him back in the studio today on Testimony Tuesday to flush out a little more of his faith story, or a lot more of it, because we didn't really get to hear how he ended up being the pastor at the First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur, and how God worked in his life, and how he ended up meeting Cindy. And so
this will be interesting.
Jump right in, Pastor Adam. Thank you for returning for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And on Testimony Tuesday, we always ask our guests to share some of their faith journeys. So did you grow up in a Christian home?
No, I did not. In fact, we never attended church at all. The first time I really attended church was in seventh grade, and I was invited by a friend of mine just to go play basketball after youth group. And we were all about basketball. Yeah, so, hey, if we're going to play basketball, I'm going. and so we would sit there for the youth service for about an hour and a half, and then we'd all go into the gym at the church, and we'd play basketball for about an hour and a half. And that was every Sunday night, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, all the way up through 12th grade. And I started to make friends at the youth group, and my family followed along later on when I was in high school. But I did not grow up in a Christian home. In fact, I didn't, all those years of attending church, I didn't give my heart to Christ until after I had graduated. I had heard the gospel message preached literally hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Never accepted it once.
I'm glad you did.
And as soon as I got out of high school, I accepted Christ into my life. Felt the call to ministry immediately.
Wow.
Because up to that point, I had wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
Now, when you say accepted Christ...
I just threw you off, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah, Marianne had to bow her head for a second there and
had to
regroup.
Laugh. I'm back.
So, this coming to Christ, just for somebody maybe unfamiliar with that term, so you went to church. Well, isn't that what being a Christian is? So, take us a little through. What was the conviction? What was the turning point? How did you come to terms with this holy God and then the fact that you recognized you were a sinner? What was the bridge or the difference?
Yeah, even though you may not follow Christ, it's still possible to feel his conviction. He tugs on the door, or he knocks on the door of your heart. It says that in the Bible, and there is a grace that is always going before you. And if you have an awareness of God, then he can work in your life and you pay attention to it. You understand it. Mm-hmm. And then after you say, yes, I will receive this grace, you look back and go, oh my goodness, the hindsight is 20/20. I look back and go, God kept me safe in those times where I really had no awareness of his love. And that's how much he loves us, is to pull us into that love. And yeah.
And what was the breakthrough? Was it an individual? Was it a message? Was it reading God's word and suddenly there was a conviction, I'm a sinner, I need to come to terms with Lord Jesus, you died for my sins, I claim you as my Savior, come into my life? Was it that dramatic? What precipitated, you know, that decision?
So I went to a Christian concert with three of my friends, and these friends that I had, I still am great friends with them today. But we went to this Christian concert, and it's a band called the Supertones, which is a ska group. I don't know if... Anyway. Okay. In the middle of their concert, they stop, and they do a 30-minute devotional. And the lead singer of this band said, I know some of you have been running from God for many months. Maybe you've been running for many years. And that hit me. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I have been running from what God is calling me to do. Today that ends, I fully surrender.
Wow.
God, my life's yours.
That's
and
powerful.
So you said shortly after that decision to ask Jesus into your heart, you felt like a calling. Was
Absolutely.
It a calling to be a preacher?
Yeah. Yeah. And I ran from that, too, for about a year and a half. I went to Mount Vernon Nazarene College from 98 to 2000, and I majored in radio broadcasting. Hmm. And I was on the radio for a year and a half. I did news and sports. I did baseball games. I did all kinds of stuff on the radio. Hmm. And it was so miserable. Yeah. Miserable. Not because radio's bad, but because I wasn't called to it.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that's powerful. I love that phrase you said, the grace that always goes before you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're describing here.
Yeah.
With every one of the, there was grace already ahead of you, calling you forward.
Always.
And
yeah.
I think last week we also shared that, you know, that concept, the hound dog from heaven.
No, hounds of heaven.
The hounds of heaven, I said hound dogs, but the fact that God oftentimes is pursuing us.
Yeah.
He's breaking down barriers, or he's working in situations, or when a crisis comes and we're finally at the point where we're ready to relinquish
That's
control
true.
Or surrender, mm-hmm. or I need you, God. And so you come to Christ, you feel a calling on your life. Mm-hmm. What was the progression? Do I go to Bible college? What's your family members or friends saying? Wait, you're going to be a stand-up comic. You're now going to be a preacher?
Oh, yeah. It was a total shock. I mean, when I told them I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, they were like, you're not even funny. Which is the greatest joke of all. That's the joke I get the most laugh about. I want to be a stand-up comic. What?
You're not funny at all.
And then I go home and go, well, I'm going to be a preacher. And they're like, well, you're not even holy. What is this? So anyway, I ended up quitting college, and I went back home to my hometown, and I just tried to get my bearings about me. And I received a call from Chicago First Church of the Nazarene, which is located in Lamont, Illinois, the suburbs. And they invited me to come be a part of their staff, and I served at that church for 13 years. Mm. They hired me when I was 20. I had no education and no experience.
Wow.
And they said, hey, you want a job? I went, sure. Sounds good.
So was it like youth pastor or like a fill-in?
At first, I was the director of recreation ministries, which they had it was 27 different recreation programs throughout the year that welcomed in 4,500 kids a year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was the director of all of that. And then I became junior high pastor, and then I became the Saturday night pastor at that church and was there for a long time. And that's where I met my wife.
Yeah, the Cindy that you've been married to these 17 years. So tell us a little shout out about her.
Yeah.
Husbandry 101.
Yeah.
You're on the spot now.
Other than Christ, I think she's the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was sitting here with a mic. I don't know if she'd say that.
Yeah.
But anyway,
she would say, yes, Adam, you did marry up.
Yes, she would. She would, for sure. Well, she had graduated from Vanderbilt and came back to the suburbs, and that was her home church, and she was playing flute in the Easter play, and I had a part in the Easter play.
Okay.
And that's where we met. Of course, it was called the Passion Play, right. So we joke all the time and say, we met at the Passion Play.
Yeah.
There was so much passion in this play.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So that's where we met. And we dated for 7 months. And I was going to propose to her on the anniversary of 9/11 and decided not to do that. I waited a week.
I am so glad you had that insight
I looked at the calendar.
Not do that.
I'm like, no, I can't. No, don't do that.
Wow. That's
so
funny.
Yeah, we've been married 17 years now. We have twin boys that are 13. They are hardcore into basketball, love basketball. And then my daughter's 11. She is the social butterfly, life of the party. Okay. Okay. She walks in a room and you know she's there.
Sweet.
And does your wife have a role in the church?
Yeah, she's a wonderful first lady. She doesn't have a specific ministry that she's in charge of because she works outside of the home. She's a speech pathologist. So she.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she works in the local schools. And so our joke often we say to people is that if you want to go out to dinner with us, not only do you have to watch what you say, you have to watch how you say it.
Oh, great. Oh, that's funny.
So in a role of pastor, obviously, you have a sermon preparation,
sure, you know,
hospital visits, you marry people, bury people, facilitate the educational curriculum. But under your job description, I don't see anything that says being able to drive a race car. How did that all come to being, and what's that all about?
Well, Macon Speedway
in
Macon, Illinois, they have Faith and Family Night. It's usually the last Saturday night in August, and they do something called the Faster Pastor.
You're listening to NASCAR.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, whoops. No, it's Great News Media. Go ahead.
So they invite local pastors to borrow a car from a driver, and then they put them out there for 8 laps and let them circle around, and everybody cheers, and it gets the churches out.
Right.
You know, my pastor's going to be in a race car. Well, I participated in that 1 year. I think it was 2017, and after that, I caught the racing bug. I caught it, and I'm like, I got to keep doing this. We had a car donated to the church. We got it ready. We went and found sponsors in the community, and we call it the D1 NASCAR. The D1 NASCAR. So we call our church is D1 NAS. It just fit, you know?
Yeah,
not
yeah.
NASCAR. The NASCAR.
The NASCAR.
And Nazarene.
Oh,
get it?
My word.
So
and wait, can we just back up?
Yeah.
Did you say that you get a group of pastors and you put the pastors in the cars?
Yeah, that's what Faster Pastor is.
That's
it's a
what
race.
Faster Pastor is.
A race of just pastors in these cars.
Where am I?
And then how many miles an hour are these pastors going that are used to maybe 60, 70,
yeah.
maybe 75, maybe not? Not much over 76 miles an hour.
I'm so glad you asked that because the track is a fifth of a mile. We were in the Sport Compact Division, which is 4 cylinders, front-wheel drive.
Okay.
Do you know what we're talking about, Mark? Because I don't.
Yeah, well. The,
okay,
yeah.
You go on.
Yeah.
Tiny little
talk
Hondas.
Just talk
Hondas
to Mark.
Is
yeah.
what
okay.
we're driving here.
Yeah. 4-cylinder, it's not going to be going too fast.
I know those words. Go ahead.
We only get up to about 45 miles per hour.
Yeah. Oh, because of the length of the track.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. That's it. That's all.
Oh,
that's as
funny.
Fast as you can go. Now, you're still going 35, 40 miles an hour into the turn as you
yeah.
drift it. But, yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So when this car was donated, though, and you progressed, you got the bug,
uh-huh.
and then you eventually saw it as a real ministry outreach and such. But
yeah.
these higher-bred cars, how fast can you go? And
well, it depends. The street stocks go about 60.
Okay.
The pro mods go about 70.
Okay.
I mean, think about that. On
yeah.
the fifth of a mile track, they go 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And then the turns or any bends, it gets a
yeah.
little hairy.
Yeah.
So like, are you looking for pastors to join in and be a faster pastor?
Yeah. That's the speedway. I was like, I'm going to race a whole season.
Okay.
So we raced 25 nights that following year,
mm-hmm.
and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Wow.
Loved it.
Well, you were sharing how it turned into a surprising outreach because
uh-huh.
people, once they get strapped in, very receptive, or the potential of an accident, or, you know, they're taking their lives in their hands,
it
literally
changes my
driving
whole view
these
of the Church
things.
Of Nazarenes, but
yeah,
go ahead.
So to tell us some of those stories of how you got to witness or people were receptive to the gospel.
Yeah. Every Saturday night, we would load the car up and head to Macon, and when we would pull in, we would obviously be greeted because people that are in the stands, they don't understand what goes on in the pits.
Yeah.
In the pits, there is a camaraderie that is unlike anything you would ever see, and it's not a competition back there. They're not going, hey, I'm going to put you in the wall tonight. It is, hey, have a good race.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a good race.
Especially with their pastors.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, whoops.
But you just go around from trailer to trailer. trailer and you start talking to guys and gals. You know, there's women drivers too that are very, very good. And they say, you know, would you pray for me tonight? You know, pray. Absolutely. Because you are the closest to God that night when you buckle in and you're in your car, it's idling, and that flag person puts the flag down and says, come on out. And you're like, oh, man, that's when you're closest to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Dear Lord.
Right there. And they want prayer. And all of a sudden, they all started attending our church. I mean, there was probably 40 people from the track that started attending D1 NAS
now,
just because of that race car.
That's
now,
pretty interesting.
Now, you mentioned the Faster Pastor, but you also race with other race car enthusiasts. So there's the certain time when maybe the 6 or 10 or 12 pastors sign up or are part of that special event. But you're racing now along with other racers.
Yeah. Yeah, guys who have regular big-time sponsors. Big deal sponsors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I love it.
No, Marianne. Marianne's looking at me. I don't think Great News Radio is going to have the Faster Radio announcers or something. You know, it'll be a new thing. I don't know. I do like to drive, and I do like to drive fast.
You should go down there, Mark, and see if you can get in a car and be a Faster Radio announcer person.
Well, in case you're just tuning in, we have Pastor Adam Lewis in the studio here. He was our guest yesterday on Memorization Monday, and we didn't get to share much of his testimony, and he was so enthusiastic about sharing God's word and proclaiming the good news message to those that are hurting or those that don't have a relationship with God. We said, we need you back for Testimony Tuesday, but I'm thinking you caught the bug, and I'm afraid I probably would catch the bug too, because I like that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why, you know, putting on events or gatherings, you get kind of wired, and then you look to do things, and it's just kind of interesting. But what's your wife think about this whole thing?
She didn't like it at all.
Okay. And how are you keeping her happy throughout these seasons where it's time, honey, I got to go?
She's grown to appreciate it.
Okay. Oh.
Mainly because of all the baptisms and all the race car drivers that have accepted Christ through this. So
that's great.
I was like, come on, honey, I'm going to the track to minister and drive.
Minister.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, I think you had up to 45 like members, almost a section in your church where all the, I won't say NASCARs. What do you call them? The
There's race car drivers.
Race car drivers.
Making Speedway is the main track, but they go all over.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, where is your church located, Indicator?
It is on Hickory Point Road, right behind the Forsyth Mall.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the church with the big green roof.
Okay.
That's how we're known. We sit on 42 acres, right on 72, right on the highway.
Mm-hmm. And what are your church times? Do you have Sunday school classes during this COVID? What's going on there?
Yeah, COVID has changed everything. So we used to do two services in the morning, 9 and 11, but we don't do that any longer. We do one service in the morning at 10 a.m. We have restricted indoor seating, and then most of the people join us on Facebook and YouTube Live.
Which reminds me, we talked off air yesterday about this, but you said, it's been interesting, Mark. God's kind of called me to this special post-COVID church experience where other pastors have sought your advice or counsel or have talked with you about how does the church look now or how will it look in the coming days. Maybe touch on some of that.
Yeah, I'm certainly not the expert, but I am working very hard to become an expert in what the post-COVID church is going to look like. And so what I did was just got a bunch of pastors together and said, hey, let's talk about this. What's this going to mean? You know already that I love cars. I love cars. And I always have. And my wife this past year let me buy a 40th anniversary Mustang, a 2004 Mustang. Well, I put it in the garage and I put it up on jack stands. And my friend Rob came over and said, every time I come over here, that car is on jack stands. When they created that car, it was made to be on the road. It was made to move. But every time I come over here, it's not doing anything. And the church was created the same way. The church was never created to just sit. And we've done this. We've built these giant buildings. We've say, you come to us. The church now has to be more mobile like it was in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. But every time we drive past a church, it's on jack stands. That church was not made to sit there. That church was made to move. It was made to be out. So that's the biggest thing that we have come to the realization of in the post-COVID ministry is that that's not going to change. The church has to be missional. We have to go outside of the walls. If we don't, we run the risk of individual churches becoming obsolete. Because we're waiting. We're waiting for people to come back. It's not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying 2022. My goodness. We've got to go to them. go to them.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's many times preached too. The church is the individuals, like the pastor is equipping us to be the church out in the community, into our workplace, during our hobbies, that we're representing the church. Yes, there's that assembling together, and many times a building is where the members of the church, the body of Christ, gather. But so you're really saying the calling is for the pastors to continue to creatively equip their members to go out and be the church in this community.
Which is a verse that we can get. Ephesians 4 says, equip the saints for good works of service. Mm-hmm. Send them out. So I preached this series 3 years ago. I went to Dairy Queen, and I bought 2 hot fudge sundaes, and I put them right here. And then I put a map in the middle, and I took a picture of it. And the series was called Life Between the Sundays.
Oh, nice.
Marianne, I thought you'd start getting hungry and think,
Curtis
Archer, you know, Dairy Queen, when's Mark going to deliver those pizzas he's promised?
There's
many different creative ways, like you mentioned, through Zoom and other ways that some of the churches are meeting. But
people are finding ways to stay connected, be connected, and just get things done. Like you say, if we don't have the building, If we do have the building, we can leave the building and go do stuff.
Sure, yeah. If the building wasn't there, like if our building wasn't there, we'd still be a church.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. We've crossed over those meanings of that word, and it's kind of done to our detriment. So one thing COVID has done is it has squashed the idea that Jesus can only preside at the church. No. Go find a need. Mm-hmm. Go be Jesus to people in your neighborhood.
Well, it's so encouraging that great good may come of this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And even ministry can take place in a race car and a racetrack on a Saturday night.
I don't want to be the driver.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'll cheer everybody on. How's that?
Is there a website for the First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur? What's
that? D1Naz.com. The letter D as in David. The number 1Naz.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, Decatur First Church of the Nazarene.
And maybe a business or somebody from the Decatur area, maybe they want to help sponsor that car. Do they get a little label on your race car
something?
Yeah,
okay. Sure do.
Find out more at D1Naz.com, D1Naz.com.
On our Facebook page, you can see our services, you can see the ministries we provide, and we even have a Wednesday night podcast that you can catch up with. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Adam Lewis of the First Church of the Nazarene, for being a part of Testimony Tuesday. Today's program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. If you missed Memorization Monday, yesterday we looked at Colossians 3:15. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Pastor Adam Lewis with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.
God bless America.